word of God that guides us is the Old Testament reading and the reading from Luke chapter 9. We examine it under the theme, Witnessing for Jesus in the Face of Rejection. My dear friends, the gospel text before us is the great turning point in the ministry of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Everything up to this point in Jesus' adult ministry has taken place in the region of Galilee. But now he begins to make his way from Galilee to Jerusalem. St. Luke tells us that when the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. Jesus' final journey. His journey to the cross has commenced. The first step along the way is Samaria. Are you surprised? Are you shocked? You should be. Most Jews refuse to step foot in Samaria. That's because Jews hated, despised Samaritans. They viewed them as ethnic half-breeds and wicked people. Samaritans rejected the Old Testament prophets, along with the divine liturgy at the temple in Jerusalem. So most Jewish rabbis told their people to avoid Samaritans because they didn't want any of their false teachings to rub off on them. But not Jesus. He goes right through Samaria. Why? Why would he do that? Well, because he is going to Jerusalem for them too. And he wants the Samaritans to recognize that truth. He wants them to know that he is the Lamb of God who will take away the sin of the world on the cross. And that includes their sins and their shortcomings. So Jesus, our text tells us, sends messengers ahead of him who went and entered a village of the Samaritans to make preparations for him. What does that mean? What types of preparations? These folks were messengers following in the footsteps of John the Baptist, who went ahead to prepare the way of the Lord. No doubt their message was, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. So, what happened? Did the Samaritans repent? Absolutely not. In fact, the Samaritans were so disrespectful and so rude that James and John blew their tops. In anger, they asked Jesus if they should call down fire from heaven to consume these terrible Samaritans. So what does Jesus do? He rebukes the disciples. My friends, exploding like a volcano was not the right way to handle rejection. It's not the right way to win friends and influence people. Instead, Jesus simply moved on. He simply moved on to another village because others needed to hear his message of law and gospel, sin and grace. Repentance and faith. In this way, Jesus teaches his disciples and you and me a very, very important lesson. And the lesson is this. Even as it's not the disciples' job or our job to punish the world for the Lord, it's not their job or our job to win the world for the Lord. The Lord will accomplish his purpose. He will use them and he will use us. Jesus' disciples are simply to proclaim his name and his word faithfully in every village where they enter. We and they are to scatter the seed liberally on every kind of soil. Believers, unbelievers, folks who want nothing to do with the church, and so forth. As we faithfully scatter the seed of the word, some of it will take root and grow, and some won't. The results, the success, rests upon the work of Jesus Christ and his Holy Spirit. Yes, as Jesus' disciples, as you and I go out and witness, we and they are going to meet the same kind of excuses from people that Jesus did. Some will want to follow Jesus, but not if it means they will have to sacrifice some of their comforts. Some will say they'll join Jesus as soon as they get a few things taken care of, which never seems to happen. And some will want to follow Jesus, but will always be looking behind them, wondering what they're missing back home. That's just the way it is. And that's the way it has been for a very, very long time. How long? We'll check out the Old Testament reading. We witness Elijah's frustration with the lack of response that he's gotten as he has faithfully proclaimed the word of God. He tells the Lord, "Look! Look, God, how zealous I have been. I faithfully preached, but all I've gotten is rejection." So Elijah says, "I'm giving up. I'm out of here. I'm going to go hide in a cave." So how does God respond? Well, he doesn't say, "Yeah, I'm about to give up on these people too." No, he tells Elijah to get out there and do what a prophet is called to do. Preach God's word. Anoint prophets, priests, and kings. And don't worry about the results, Elijah. It's not your job to convert the world. I'll take care of the results, the Lord says. And by the way, Elijah, there's a lot you don't see, buddy. I have 7,000 in Israel who have not bowed to Baal or kissed him. Wow. These two texts, they really hit close to home, don't they? After all of us, every one of us here, have experienced rejection in one way or another as we have followed Jesus and sought to share the good news of the gospel. Maybe you have talked to people at work, and you told them about your weekend and how it would involve lots of church activities. And someone said to you, "You know, I think you're a Jesus freak." Maybe you invited several neighbors or family members even to come to worship, and not a single person accepted your invitation and attended. Ouch. Ouch. When we stick our neck out for Jesus, only to be rejected, ouch! It hurts. And no doubt it's discouraging when you all look around and recognize the number of people here in worship at Mount Moriah is fewer, much fewer than just a few years ago. And because we don't see the kind of success we think we should see when we share our faith, and when we spread God's word in our daily lives and through the ministry of our church, maybe, just maybe, we begin to wonder if God's word really has the power that's necessary. Does God's word have the power that is necessary to reach a world that is, as our epistle lesson says, drowning in sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these? Perhaps sometimes God's word seems as helpless as the sound of a low whisper against these things. Well, my friends, when you and I are tempted to give up because the rejection or the meager results, because our voice seems like nothing more than a low whisper against powerful earthquakes, God would have us remember that it was just a low whisper. Just a low whisper that came from the mouth of our Lord from the cross. It is. It is finished. And the whole world was changed. It was just a low whisper that said, "I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." But the results were that you were born again. You were made a child of God and a member of the body of Christ. You were raised from spiritual death to spiritual life. You were made a new creation to live a new life for Christ. It was just a low whisper that said at the beginning of our service today, "I forgive you all your sins." But that low whisper wasn't your pastor speaking. That was God speaking through your pastor. That was God delivering you from the prison of guilt and bringing new hope, forgiveness, and life. And today, when you come to this table and you hear a low whisper say, "Take and eat, take and drink," do not be put off by the lowliness of the and the drink. This is the very body and the very blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, for the strengthening of your faith, and for the empowering you need to share the love and good news about Jesus. Indeed, right here, my friends, in the divine service, Jesus is at work gifting us with his Spirit, who empowers us through word and sacraments to follow him and to share the good news of the gospel wherever our 2 feet hit the ground. So today, let's make a new and a bold commitment to faithfully and intentionally, yes, intentionally, seek new ways to connect with our community and to tell others about the difference, the incredible difference Jesus Christ has made in our lives. Yes, today, let's make a new commitment to inviting our friends to worship, ever trusting that while we plant the seed, it is God the Holy Spirit, who produces the results. It is God who provides the harvest. Yes, let's today commit ourselves to being faithful in proclaiming the Word of God, in sharing God's Word through our words and our actions, trusting what God says. The word that goes out from my mouth will not return to my being empty, but will produce the purpose for which I sent. Let's go out with great courage and hope, believing that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. May God grant it for Jesus' sake in your life and in mine. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses human comprehension, keep our hearts and our lives through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.